just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, an English Premier League podcast hosted by four Americans tonight. We've got three. You've got Chris, Shay, and Peter here in D.C. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing well. Just played some futsal.
Exactly. You know? Just came back from some futsal. Had
we
to
were
my
all,
ankles.
We were all on the same team tonight in a game rotation. And and we played for a while, for about 20 minutes on. And then after that, we didn't win a game after that.
Yeah.
It was
well, we played for like 2 hours, but we didn't win a game
so
after the first 30 minutes.
When the lights weren't off, because, you know, for a while we played without any lights. The floodlights weren't working. And that's when we were working teams, even though we all couldn't see.
But oh, yeah. That's
we had the advantage. We were a little darker than the opposition.
Yeah, that's our game. You know, we kind of blend in. You know, we got three Americans, but we got three black Americans. So, you know, that was use the darkness to our advantage.
So, yeah, if you're
not. I'm the lightest skinned person here. So, you know, for me, it was kind of a little bit hard.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You might be, Shay. You might be. Keep telling yourself that. That actually makes a lot of sense that's what you see. Any analysis you have on the game, I'm going to be like, oh, well, Shay probably sees the world in a different way now, in a different light. but, guys, we got a ton to talk about. First off, if you're listening to the show, just know that we're now on international break. So no Premier League next weekend. You know, go do something. Go hang out with your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Go, you know, go do something. Go on a picnic. I don't know what you want to do.
Play some FIFA. Help me find some off-white shoes.
Shay's looking for off-whites.
Yeah,
so
if you know anyone, I'm going to play pay a markup.
But we do have to talk about some of the results from the weekend, guys. I mean, the point of the season that just passed was between two key international breaks, and I think this is now a great time to sit back and kind of reflect on what has gone over, you know, the middle of the season. We're now a fourth of the way through the season almost. Some good games to learn from. I think the biggest game of the weekend was Liverpool City. You know, you had a Man City team who obviously put up 100 points last year, who's been the favorites on a lot of people's lists. And then Liverpool, who beat PSG in recent weeks, has had a very tough schedule hosting City, who has Liverpool historically in recent history has had a pretty good number on City in their last three, four matchups. So
yeah. Haven't lost there. Or they haven't. City hasn't beat Liverpool at Anfield since 2003.
Insane.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy. But two very high-powered offenses, two of the best teams, two of the three best teams in the Premier League, without doubt.
Who's the third?
Chelsea.
Okay. Chelsea. I agree. But
don't even start this.
There are some listeners, I think, who are thinking, and we'll talk about it, but who are thinking Arsenal and Tottenham might be in that conversation.
I'm talking about record and by my visual test. But
okay.
Yes.
Yes, anyway. You're here. Yeah. Your visual test, which we just now proved is 100% accurate.
It is funny, though, because, like, even though I was expecting this end-to-end game, like, last year, and, you know, Jurgen Klopp is a one manager, even going back to his Dortmund days, that always could get a number on Pep, and I feel like he changed his tactics to, you know, play a little bit more cautious, so you can get...
Klopp?
You know, no, Pep.
Yeah.
Well, both of them, kind of, because it was a very... like, I think the first 10 minutes of the game... It was a little end-to-end, and then they just slowed down. And I feel like both managers are like, yeah, let's just take a tie. Let's take a draw until that penalty.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because, I mean, I agree. I think at one point both teams had clearly had taken, you know, they had surveyed the game and said, you know what, a point is good. And I think Liverpool really was the team that really conceded there, because you would think a Liverpool team at home wanting to get a result over City.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying, as a Liverpool fan, I'm not saying a point is bad in this situation. I do think City still is going to win the league. But I think one key takeaway from that game is you look at the way City was building up, and you would see literally Firmino, Mane, and Salah move up into a position where they were nearly at City's box. And you had Ederson and his two center backs on either side, literally on the touchline, making them play out. But once they got beyond there wasn't, you know, the back four of Liverpool weren't pressing all the way up to half. There was still some sort of, you know, the attacking mids and the front three would drop behind the ball eventually and get back in and play more disciplined. It wasn't necessarily like them trying to pin them in the top third, because you really needed the Andy Robertsons and Joe Gomez, who I thought played phenomenal, both really pressing up higher if you really wanted to win the ball and key areas in the middle. And I think at that point, Klopp was like, let's turn it off once they break the front three.
Well, I imagine that's why he played Joe Gomez, right? To play a little bit more, less attacking, more defensive, to stop that attacking wingers from City, yeah. right? I think maybe it's just because I haven't seen Lovren in too much rotation, but I imagine
he just got back. It's his first game.
Okay, so I imagine the plays he selected are because he wants a more stable back four who's going to sit a little bit deeper.
It's an interesting point. I think TAA's exclusion from the team may have been his
grandmaster. You heard about that?
No.
Just a little tangent. He played like the grandmaster in chess, like the world champion in chess.
TAA?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And like did really well. It's like
really?
So there's a video of him like going to report for England, and Gary Southgate's like, "Hey, we should call you grandmaster now."
Did he win though?
No, but he made it okay. further than Bill Gates though.
Okay. Right. Damn.
Really? And Alexander Arnold. Yeah, well, apparently he's been playing.
All I know is he needs to apply those smarts to some of his right back play, because I honestly think Klopp sat him because of his performances against top teams. I think he's been great offensively. I think there are times he gets a little caught out. I think on one of the Napoli goals, he was caught out midweek. And I also think he's gotten a ton of games, a ton of minutes this year. You know, I think a rotation is not a bad thing necessarily, and I wouldn't look too much into it.
Right.
But I thought Gomez did fit in well at right back, and it just shows his versatility at his age.
Do you guys want to talk about the penalty decision at the end?
Well, there were two penalties called. There was two penalties that could have been called. There was Aguero on Lovren. There was Lovren on Aguero.
Yeah, there was only one that was called.
Right, but a lot of people thought that Aguero was fouled in the box. Personally, I didn't. And I actually applauded Martin Atkinson for letting those plays go by throughout the game. I thought he officiated real well. There were plenty of cards given. And I thought the Van Dijk tackle was a penalty as well.
Yeah, it was weird because he didn't need to even commit like that. It was the end of the game. And it was, who was it, Sané?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of showing him out. And then he, you know, that Van Dijk has probably been the best defender in the Premier League over the last year. And that was like one of the few mistakes I've seen him make. But
I can't be mad at it, man. I mean, sometimes you got to make those tackles. You know, you obviously don't want to concede a penalty, but I don't think it was like an egregious foul by any means. He got a little leg, and Sané, I thought, played it really well. I mean, those fresh legs coming off the bench, a player that a lot of guys on this pod thought he was going to be player of the season. So, difficult guy to defend. Not me either, but difficult guy to defend.
Not me either. I didn't pick him. I'm just letting you know, right? Don't look at me like that.
Let's talk about the pen, though.
Yeah.
It was weird because with all the players that are on that team, I didn't expect Mahrez to take it. And then you know how...
Well, Aguero on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Aguero was on the bench.
He would have taken it.
Gundogan didn't play.
Sané.
Aguero was out, but that's what
was true. It was weird because, like, when he went up there, it just looked, you know, people thought, okay, he's going to miss it. And then there's a video of the Liverpool goalkeeper coach yelling to Alisson, being like, he's going to shoot to his left, and he skied it, you know. And
yeah. Well, I got a couple of things from that. So did you know that Pep told Mendy to tell Mahrez to take that penalty?
Yeah.
So they had a video of Mendy running from Pep straight to Mahrez, and that's when he called Gabriel Jesus off that he was going to take the penalty.
And Jesus' reaction.
And Jesus' reaction was like, okay.
Go ahead, I guess, if you really want to take it. To me, it makes me think that, you know, Pep is like, Mahrez, it's your time to step up and, you know, earn some respect from your teammates.
Yeah. Well, I got some stats for you. So out of the Man City players on the pitch, only three players are taking a penalty in their Premier League career, which doesn't really make sense to me, but that's what it says. So David Silva had taken it, he missed. Gabriel Jesus was 3-1. Riyad Mahrez was 11-7.
You mean 1-3?
Yeah. No, 3-1. Taking three penalties made one.
Okay.
Riyad Mahrez was 11-7. Taking 11 penalties made seven. But you look at, and then I have another stat, sorry. The worst Premier League takers in the Premier League history.
Percentage-wise,
who are taking more than 10 penalties, and Riyad Mahrez is second to last at 58%.
Damn, oh, wow. Who's the worst?
Juan Pablo and Carol.
That's a 50%. Throwback name.
Damn.
Michael Owens on this list, too.
I mean, but Mahrez is second to last, dude. Yeah. Interesting to know.
So, York is on this list. So that's just crazy. You know?
Yeah, no, that's good to know. My question, guys, is, you know, after seeing that match, you know, after seeing Chelsea and their run in recent history, looking at Arsenal's winning streak, do you guys still put Liverpool and City as the two favorites to win the title? I mean, both those teams drew 0-0.
Yeah.
Just considering
one thing
all
I
the
will
factors.
Say, yeah, I think those two. I think Chelsea has to be up there. The one thing with Liverpool is no disrespect to them, but the way that you guys play just going from like 0 to 100 in every game may cause some tired legs at some point. And with the Champions League, you know, competing in both competitions may hinder you guys. While with Chelsea, I don't think they're taking the Europa League that seriously.
But their reliance on Hazard is...
Yeah, that is true. And they don't have another goal scorer, you know. I mean, they have, you know, Giroud, Morata, they're not consistent goal scorers.
So what is Peter saying? Are you saying City, Liverpool, or Chelsea? I didn't get anything from that other than that you don't think Liverpool could win.
City are still, I think, the favorites. But Liverpool went out, you know, they just went played Spurs, Chelsea, and City, and didn't lose within a month. So I think, you know, you guys got to be happy with that.
I think for me, we didn't learn anything from that game other than the fact
we learned that you can't put your mouthpiece in front of your mouth. That's what we learned.
Is it an attachment? Look, no.
Jesus, just put it in front of your mouth.
Is it touching my mouth?
Literally angle it down. So
but
it's touching
my. You see, it's touching my lips, though.
It's touching your nose. It's not. It's
my
aiming,
nose?
It's
my
aiming
nose
at your nose.
Down. There you okay. go. There all you right. go.
No, you can turn it. You can literally turn it like that.
You can't win on this podcast, you know?
You really can't.
You can't win. Anyway, I didn't learn anything other than the fact that those teams are boring to watch when they play each other. But they're both my favorites because the two top teams playing each other, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's interesting. A lot of those guys will be playing in international break teams over the next couple weeks. So, you know, any of those guys who you think may rest, may not. You know, all play very important roles for the national team.
Yeah.
So
it'll be good for Liverpool. I mean, I think Salah's looked a little bit like heavy legs, so I think hopefully the Egyptian coach isn't going to make him play two games, you know, because this could be a perfect time for him to just kind of like rest up and get back into it because he's been a little bit inconsistent, you know.
Another team that needs to take a break and probably regroup and, you know, think about some things is Manchester
that?
United.
So,
you know, last week on this pod, I had said that I thought, you know, the midweek fixture against Valencia and then the Newcastle match would be enough to probably get Mourinho sacked. I was wrong, but the Mirror did leak some pretty strong rumors leaning towards Mourinho being out. And honestly, the way NBC covered that match, they covered it like it was Mourinho's last match.
Yeah.
I mean, it had all the narratives of it being
exactly.
that. You know, I mean, even going the day before when Gary Neville went on that really good rant about just how he shouldn't lose his job. I thought he should have lost. Like, I'm at this point where I'm kind of Mourinho out. But I don't see a viable candidate for taking the job over. And I did hear something funny that his own team leaked the story.
That Man U, yeah.
That Jose leaked it. Jose, because, you know, there's certain journalists, like there's this guy, Duncan Castles, who basically is Jose Mourinho's mouthpiece. And there's a rumor that he may have leaked it just because, like, it got all the pressure. And even Gary Neville said it. He said he will get the biggest reception. And even... You know, I mean, we did win the game, and it was like a great comeback. But he did get a huge reception for that. You know, it's very Machiavellian, and I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It had all the storylines in the sense that Newcastle hadn't won a game this whole season. They hadn't beat United at home, I think, in 23 years or something. Mm. Newcastle scores in the 5th minute, in the 9th minute, you literally think Mourinho's about to get sacked that moment. I thought Dr. Hayer, the one that he
that
almost
moment.
Let in, I thought he should just let it in on purpose because he almost looked like he wanted Mourinho to get sacked too.
Oh, my
and
God.
And all of a sudden, they come back, they win 3-2.
Yeah, it was crazy. A weird game. I didn't even feel anything when Sanchez scored the goal. I was just like, because at that point, 2-0, he took Baye off 15 minutes in.
Is that a smart substitution? You think that it worked out in his favor? You think that was tactical genius play?
No, or? Because Scott McTominay is not a center back, and he played him at center back. And I think I actually think because there's reports that it wasn't even Mourinho that made the tactical changes. He actually asked the players, and they kind of at halftime, you know, Pogba played a little bit deeper, and then he had Mata playing a little bit more advanced role. So I don't think he made too many tactical shifts. That's just what he's known for doing. Like, he's old, like even going back to his old days at Chelsea, there was a bad game. He took Joe Cole off, like, 10 minutes in or something like that. Mm-hmm.
It was a bold play.
A bold plan, but it didn't – because Newcastle could have had more goals, too. Scott McTominay is not a defender, and it was just, like, a weird decision.
Yeah.
If you're going to take him – I mean, I get it. He, you know, you wanted to play 3 at the back, and he can pass the ball out, but he's not that good of a passer, you know. So it was just – it was just odd, but I think credit to the players that like last 20 minutes that, you know, came in, got those two, you know, Mata got the goal, Martial, and then Sanchez and Pogba played great. But this break will be good for them because I feel like those guys love going away. Like, I saw a video of the French team, like, meeting each other, and Pogba looks so happy when he's not. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, then. Mourinho's still there as of now, right? Yeah. Has Mourinho been sacked?
Mourinho has not been sacked. Okay. I was waiting for the question.
So, at this moment, I mean, I guess my question is, does the loss, I mean, not the loss, the Newcastle win change anything at Manchester United? Do we start back from ground zero, or, I mean, from where we left off prior to the Newcastle game? I mean, is the pressure still on?
Doesn't change.
That's what everyone wants to know.
The pressure's still on. The pressure's still on. It's good to get a win, but pressure's still on.
It seemed like both of you thought that Mourinho was going to get sacked prior to this Newcastle game.
No, I didn't.
If it was a bad result. All right, fine. But
I just did because
I said he was going to get sacked, but not prior or after this game.
All right, well, my question is before the end of the year then. Is this still?
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
We play Chelsea, Juve, Everton. Like, we have a very tough run of games, and that team, like, we could, I mean, that game could have gone either way. Newcastle could have scored 3 or 4.
They were close.
That game does not save him. The issue is, again, it's not about Mourinho now. Take Mourinho out of the picture, because firing him does not put us in a better situation, because we're still missing a director of football, whatever, a lifeline between Woodward and what happens on the field. Mm. There's not anyone who can come in at this point and really change it up, I don't think, for the better, a fourth of the way through the season. You know, we have a lot of issues, and I don't know if making more uncertainty will make us better.
Okay.
Yeah, just last thing, I think he stays until a viable candidate is available, and I just don't think there's a viable candidate until this summer, so...
I was going to say, the only team who looks worse than Newcastle is Fulham right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good transition. Is Fulham lost 5-1 to Arsenal. There are a lot of Arsenal fans who are listening to this that are thinking, oh, Arsenal should be in the discussion for top three. How come Peter didn't mention them in the top three? How come Chris is always hating on Arsenal? Well, I mean, they have their nice little winning streak right now. I think that's evident on paper.
Yeah.
I guess my question to you guys is, should Arsenal be discussed in that top three discussion with Chelsea, Manchester City, and Liverpool?
No, because this happens, no offense, but most seasons this happens. Most seasons, they go on a run of 5 or 6 games where they play free-flowing football, they win games, and Arsenal fans are talking, this might be it, this might be it. And then they just plummet somewhere in December, February. You know, let's wait until... I think their next toughest game is Liverpool in November. Let's wait until they go and Unai Emery has to make some changes tactically when they go and face tougher teams. But credit to them, they're doing well and they got good transitions. So.
I think Arsenal should be discussed as a good team. I think that's clear. I think
a good team. What does that mean, Shay? King of saying this team is a good team. What does that mean?
Okay, Arsenal. Because I can't say they're title contender because the other teams ahead of them haven't lost a game. So in that sense, they're not a title contender. But this is the best team I've seen from Arsenal. This is the best performance I've seen from Arsenal in a long time, right? They just have the unfortunate news happening in the fact that there's 3 teams that are unbeaten. Tottenham's off to their best start in Premier League history, right? So Arsenal is performing well, but they're losing some limelight because all their teams are performing better.
Well, I mean, they lost to Man City head-to-head. They lost to Chelsea head-to-head. And you look at Liverpool, a team that's played both those teams as well, and they've gotten draws against them. I just think they're missing enough punch to get into that upper echelon of teams. They're lacking.
What's upper echelon? Title contenders?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And I think they're
upper echelon right now.
I think they're just a little behind, probably even with Spurs, which I know is going to piss off both Spurs fans and Arsenal fans. Or not.
I think that, like, off of current form right now, they're the better team than Spurs. Just they're playing better, but, like, again, we have to wait and see, because they've had years where they've been playing free-flowing football against lesser quality teams, and then even, like, say they think they play United in December, and even if United is in terrible form, United always find a way to beat Arsenal even if they play like shit. So, like, let's wait until this, like, come December when they go play Spurs, Liverpool, United, and some tough away fixtures, then I'll be like, all right, contenders. But they're definitely top 4 contenders.
In December, they play Man U, Huddersfield, which will be cake, and Southampton. But they also play Liverpool and Tottenham. So, you know, in that stretch. So I think you're right. I think that'll be a good test. December, if they make it through December without the classic Arsenal collapse, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
Back to Fulham now. I think there have been some claims on this show that Fulham is a good team, and I think they've looked terrible. I think they really are lacking a bolsterous midfield. I don't think the defense, which we thought was going to come in and perform, When Ream came back, is doing well at all. I think really their only bright spots on the field is Sarri and Mitrovic. And unfortunately, they're going to continue struggling, I think, for the rest of the year. They might be just good enough to stay up.
Yeah, I think they're doing two things that are kind of bothering me. The first thing is they're still trying to play the same way they did in the championship, credit to them. But, like, against Arsenal, Arsenal's not going to play another team that's going to be that open and they're just going to have the running for them. But they brought in, like, 11 players, and it takes time to integrate that many players. And then they keep switching the lineup. Like, Tim Ream was their best defender of the championship. Well, they brought in Alfie Mawson, a French defender I can't recall, Callum Chambers, Timothy Fosu-Mensah, and he keeps rotating, so you don't know. I don't know if he knows what their best team is. You know, they bought two goalkeepers, and now they're using Marcus, how do you say his last name? Bettinelli or something. Mm. So he, like, maybe it'll take him another month or so to figure out the best 11, but, like, yeah, they're struggling. Right,
Fulham now. Fans, sorry to tell you this, but, you know, without Jacob on the show, you're not going to get much love for us anymore.
Most goals against in the Premier League right now. I mean, they're not good at home. They're not good away from home.
once they started, when they bought Sarri and some, I was like, yeah, they have a squad, but then they just bought so many players. I'm like, how are you going to integrate literally 11 new players that all probably should or were probably sold to start on your team into your squad, you know? Like, it's just...
Yeah, the loss to Crystal Palace really was the nail in the coffin, which, and there's still 30 weeks to go. Anyways, guys, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to listen from some fans on Twitter. We're going to get some questions in there, maybe talk a little bit about what these guys are doing during the national break, and more shortly. All right, guys, we're back. Peter wants to mention that he loved the Ramsey goal against literally a bunch of Fulham defenders walking around. But anything else? I mean, it was a nice little flick.
It was a...
Ramsey put his hands up like, dude, they weren't playing defense.
I know.
They weren't playing defense.
That is, they weren't playing defense. But it was just like, it was a sequence of, like, you know, what, like 10 passes from...
Yes.
You know,
and Arsenal fans are going to be retweeting that for the next 12 years. Oh. Like, remember when Ramsey had that one goal against
He's probably going to leave in January, too.
Yeah, I would take him.
I would
a good player.
You would take him on United?
I would take him on United.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll take him. Sell Herrera.
Yeah, well, I like Herrera. But I would play Ramsey over Herrera.
Wow.
And okay. I like Herrera.
I like Herrera.
I like Herrera.
All right, well, good for you. Good for you. Maybe you should reach out to Woodward.
He's likely leaving in January.
And signed. Where do you think he's going to end up?
I don't know. I just know, like, he's not signed a new deal.
You talking about Ramsey?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to end up at Celtic or something. Watch.
Dude, come on. That's disrespectful, man. The guy can bowl.
Where is he going then?
I mean, maybe abroad. He's good enough to play abroad.
All right. Okay. Anyways,
this man
guys,
has a team who's undefeated. Now, all of a sudden, all these players aren't good enough for him.
Good enough.
They're not good enough for Liverpool. Okay.
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 Guys, we put out... We put out a poll of listeners to give us some questions for today's show. So I'm going to read down the list here.
Why Shay always have the best soccer stats? Well, let me tell you why.
That was the first question.
Man, your own
Here's my answer. Because he's the only one on the field.
You're doing some Baron. What is Donald Trump's alter ego where he'd call in?
Yeah.
John Barron shit.
All right. All right, guys. This is from Glenn Lefty. Lawrence, what is the better Shaqiri nickname, Alpine Messi or Thick Ronaldo?
Get on the field and play. That should be his nickname.
Damn. Yo, see the field. See the field, Shaqiri.
Yeah, Liverpool fans. Yeah.
I like
He's a great player, but you guys are hopping on all those.
Great player. Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Thick Ronaldo. But, I mean, honestly, I don't think you want to be associated with Ronaldo after these allegations now. So. Moving on.
True.
This is from Eric Italiano. Can Shaqiri or Bobby be the answer at number 10, or does Klopp need to outsource? The answer is Oxlade-Chamberlain at number 10.
You think he's the answer? Chris.
He was the answer.
Yeah. But he got us to a Champions League final, right? Or to a Champions League semifinal.
Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Yeah.
Statistically, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, the beginning of the season. Statistically, he wasn't great for Liverpool either.
He was good for the last 6 weeks.
He would have completely changed that City game.
Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain would
have. You mean the Real Madrid game?
I mean, Naby Keita really was.
Oh, the City game that just happened, yeah.
Naby Keita really was supposed to be the answer, but there's too much pressure on him at the moment. He can't even really get going in the midfield. He hasn't been great.
He's playing those sideways passes.
Okay, I like Oxlade. I think he's a good player, but I'm just saying, let's not forget that he didn't really do anything great when he was playing.
I disagree with that.
I think he
statistically,
did.
Statistically, he didn't.
What stats? What stats are you talking about? Statistically.
About goals. He didn't score any goals.
He scored stats, against City. He had a huge goal against City last year.
I think it's more about chances created. Back to the question, I don't think y'all need to spend more money on another creative player.
There won't be any money.
There won't be any more
money. No money. Spend too much money.
I just think, you know, you just got to wait. Give it a month or so. Or not even a month. Maybe after the international break, we start seeing more Keita. Fabinho dropping deep, and then Keita has more of a free role. But
what's wrong with the number 10 you have right now?
They don't really have a number 10. Yeah. He's more of a...
He's a 9.
He's more of a like false 9 striker. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, what happened to Lallana? That dude just disappeared. Better taste in wristwatches from Cass Anderson, former guest on the show. Pep or Klopp?
I didn't notice either.
It's honestly not Mourinho. I know Mourinho has the Hublot.
The Hublot?
Oh, that's
Hublot.
Fire.
No, his Hublot looks disgusting. Does it? Oh, man.
I haven't seen his, but I like
Hublot. They're paying him a ton of money.
Yeah,
his haircut was fresh, though. Mourinho's haircut was fresh, but I didn't see.
We're
going
to have to get
Pep's,
a close look in on Pep and Klopp's wristwatches. Cass, sorry, we can't answer that. And Andrew Spookbee says, this is a freaking manhunt. We know the Hublots are the best wristwatches. So, Mourinho Hublot, shout out. The Hublots. I like that. This is from Patrick T. Holt. Arsenal's potential to challenge for the title.
We just talked about that.
Let's not yet. Arsenal fans, cool your jets.
Maybe
let's
2022.
Let's wait. Wait until November, December when you go through that tougher run.
Go ahead.
No worries. Last year would have been a year where they would have dropped points against some of these teams that they against some weaker opposition. They haven't done that yet, but.
I will say that I think the mentality changed at Arsenal. I think if Wenger was the manager now, they'd be drawing a lot more games. They'd be giving up games. They don't seem as soft on them.
No, I agree. They're great. I just it's October. They've played their first two games are against two teams that are against two great teams where they're figuring their shit out. But let's wait before we start talking title.
I mean, the problem with Arsenal is that they have three teams above them who are just playing amazing. It's not their fault. Arsenal's playing better style than they were at the previous years, but the three teams above them are just playing phenomenal.
Okay. This is from Drew Stevenson 35 on Twitter. Salah's potential for regression to the mean this year. Now that he coming off a 35, 40 goal season, whatever. Do we think he's going to come back down to earth here?
Come back down to how he was playing before last season? Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
he had one phenomenal
season. If you look at his stats comparison to last year, and this is up to 7 games, he has one less goal, same amount of assists. He's created 9 more chances. He's doubled his chances and created. He has a better dribble success rate. He has an equal passing accuracy. So, I mean, virtually the same player on paper. Shea, you love the stats right now.
Yeah, I do.
So, I honestly think, give him some time. When we get to the end of the year, let's take a look at his stats. Because I think he's going to get some goals. And we've been talking about it.
Yeah, from a goals perspective, he's definitely not going to hit those heights from last season.
No, and that was, by far his best season.
But,
so
but
still,
necessarily mean
I can still get, double 20 goals.
Which will be good. I'm agreeing with you. I think, he doesn't need to do that to prove that he's, still top quality. He doesn't need to do what he did last season.
Okay. just a comment here about £65 million Mahrez. Okay, that's a good one. Benta. Now... This is from Drake Ridge on Twitter. Will a loss at his former club once the PL returns from international break finally be the nail in the coffin for Mourinho? So he does play Chelsea after the international break. Is that enough?
No, because again...
Once they get blown out.
They get blown out. Chelsea are miles ahead of them. And that's the first thing that I saw that I was like, even though we beat this awful Newcastle team, sorry, Chelsea is miles ahead of them. But again... there's no it, like firing him and then what? I know like a lot of people don't like Jose and a lot of people also don't like United, but you got to be sensible when you're just going to be like Mourinho out. There's no other manager. Zidane is not like he's a great manager.
It was Conte, but
he's there. Like unless there's reports saying okay they're going to go for Conte right after the international break. No, if they were going to fire him, they're going to do it during these 2 weeks when they can negotiate and find another manager. They're not going to do it within a game. And then on Wednesday, we play Juventus. So
Juventus.
Juve, my bad.
Andrew Detmer on Twitter. Do you think that City parked the bus, or can you defend without that term applying? I mean, I'm talking to two bus specialists
people
here.
People got to stop it with that term, man. That's just like some...
Come on. Yes or no?
They didn't park the bus. Okay. They like rewatched the game.
And I don't think they did either. I mean,
I don't even think United parks the bus. I think United plays in a defensive block. But
oh my god! Yeah, man. We're moving on. Okay.
All
right. From Simon Paul Price. Oops. Was City's first penalty shout really a penalty? We already talked about that. I don't think so.
Wait,
I don't think it was. The Aguero fall.
Oh, the Aguero fall.
I need to rewatch
Aguero, it. No. Or the Lovren tackle, if you want to frame it a different way.
No, I think that's fine.
I'm seeing a lot of is Mo Salah one season wonder. No.
No.
agree to disagree. Liverpool Man City was a fairly terrible match with no really good attempts on goal.
Agreed.
Really?
It was a boring
match. From Jay Sarkar.
No.
I think it was a good match.
I think they're compact. I will say again, Liverpool. These last two games, Liverpool have not taken as many shots as they usually do. They haven't created as many chances, and you might feel hard done by that because you're expecting Liverpool. They're the one team that I always expect to just go at City, and they didn't. But I wouldn't say it was a bad game.
I'm gonna say if obviously there weren't goals, which I think a lot of people look at the goals as a very easy way to tell if a match was exciting. But if you really are keen on positioning and spacing and everything, I mean that game had all of it. I mean the attention to detail from the midfielders. I mean, you look at guys who played the whole game. Silva, Wijnaldum, Bernardo Silva played a great game. There were some guys in there in the midfield I thought that played phenomenal throughout.
I thought the best players were probably Lovren, the best...
Really? Gomez.
Laporte. I thought the best players were the defenders. I mean, it was a good game in the sense of, like, it was two great teams, two great managers, but the best players didn't really show up in my opinion.
Yeah, well, City, I mean, both teams were missing certain players. City, I thought De Bruyne would have been back for this game, which would have been a game changer, but he wasn't. So,
All right, guys. Any final thoughts for your international break? What are you going to do with the time off?
Watch some internet. Watch, international games. Watch USA.
I'm not watching that shit.
My cousin, hopefully he makes Nathaniel Chalobah, friend of the pod. Hopefully he makes his England debut. Got called in.
Hopefully he makes Watford better because Watford needs some help too.
Yeah.
Is he going to get into that team?
The Watford
team? We're waiting. Now's the time.
I mean, it's just like Doucouré and Etienne Capoue. They had a good partnership for a while, but he obviously, is highly rated. Troy Deeney said that the kid could go for 50 million if he wanted to. Like, he's highly rated in that club, and I just think having the manager didn't want to just change things up, especially because he's been out for a year. So.
I understand that when they were winning, but now they've been losing.
Yeah, I could see him making. Yeah, I could see him coming back and getting into that squad. But that's good.
All right, y'all. Make sure you check out some of those games if you're interested. If not, take some time off. Make sure you catch up on our prediction league. We've still got Conal D in the lead, Miles and Jacob in the top four.
We had a bad week, Chris.
Yeah, you and I both had about three or four, respectively. I mean, at least I beat you, so. make sure you keep catching those games. Get your predictions in. You can find us on AcrossThePond.co, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, all you Android users, whatever you guys do, Overcast, Acast, do your thing. We'll talk to you guys later.